So I'm here with Chris Capicella from The Office Group.
Yeah.
And tell me a little bit about yourself. You haven't been on Channel 9 before. This is your first time.
No, it is. It's my first time. So, I have the distinct pleasure of working in the Information Worker Group that looks after Office and Exchange and SharePoint and Office Communication Server, Project Visio. Been at the company since 91. That's
wow.
The only job I've ever had outside of working at the family Italian restaurant where where I grew up as a little kid.
Yeah.
And it's been an incredible ride. We've had a blast.
Great. And you've got a big announcement Monday.
We do.
At WPC.
Yeah, at the Worldwide Partner Conference, we're announcing that Office 2010 and SharePoint 2010 and Project and Visio 2010, they're all hitting the technical preview milestone. Mm-hmm. So that means tens of thousands of people are going to get invitations, including everyone at WPC and everyone who went to TechEd.
Yeah.
They're all going to get invitations to download the tech preview of Office. So it really is a huge milestone, as you know, in the engineering process to get a bunch of people pounding on the product, get it to that final stage, the end goal line's in sight at this point.
And what kinds of things can we expect to see in Office 2010?
God, it's always very tough to try to explain it all in a really short period of time, but we're probably going to talk about everything in kind of three main areas.
Mm-hmm.
The first thing is really about providing the best productivity software for the PC, the phone, and the browser.
Yeah.
So the Office web apps will be a big part of the release in that you can use them using Safari and Firefox and IE, really wherever you are.
Mm-hmm.
You can get to your documents and work with them using your mobile phone. You've got new versions of the Office mobile apps on the phone, on Windows phones. And that's a big part of our story.
Yeah.
The second part of the story is really about letting people work together much, much more easily.
Yeah.
So co-authoring. You and I working on a Word document at the same time that lives up on a SharePoint site or lives
up on Windows. So you've got full collaboration.
And yep. Full co-authoring in Word and PowerPoint and OneNote. We think that'll be a big, big hit for people.
Mm-hmm.
And then the third major area is really letting people kind of bring their ideas to life with text and video and video and pictures.
Yeah.
So the thing that really seems to pop are all the things you can do with pictures inside of Word
mm-hmm.
and with video inside of PowerPoint without needing third-party tools.
Nice.
So cropping video and setting bookmarks and animations, some really, really nice things because we're just seeing video exploding as a content type, and we want that to sing inside of Office.
Yeah.
So those are the three big things. But of course, there are lots and lots of features within each of those three that we think are going to be exciting.
So one of the things I'm most excited about is the web apps. How are we going to get those?
Yeah, the web apps will be what I think a lot of people will talk about. It's a big new element of Office 2010. And there are basically three ways that people can get them.
Mm-hmm.
The most obvious ways for consumers is that at the point of launch, 400 million Windows Live users will have access to the Office web apps for free, no cost. So you put an Office document up in SkyDrive, you click on it, and you're viewing it in the web app.
That's awesome.
Click on the edit button. You're editing it in the web app, all just seamlessly part of Windows Live. You can share it, you can invite other people, and that's exciting.
Mm-hmm.
So 400 million people right out of the chute have access to the Office web apps for free. The second way is that a lot of businesses aren't going to want to use Windows Live. They want a lot of compliance and control over their content. They want to set policies for how their documents get deleted and archived and all that stuff.
Yeah.
So they're going to use a subscription service,
mm-hmm.
and we'll have ways for people to subscribe to the web apps through our online services. So we have Exchange Online and SharePoint Online and Office Communications Online. Microsoft runs those on behalf of the customer,
mm-hmm.
and they're paying us a subscription. And then the big news that we're making at the Worldwide Partner Conference, because we've announced both of those already, the big news that we're making at the Worldwide Partner Conference is that if you're an Office customer, an annuity Office customer, and there are about 90 million of those,
mm-hmm.
People who buy Office through an annuity agreement, the web apps will be part of Office for you to run yourself inside your own company.
That's
just
great.
Using SharePoint on the back end.
Yeah.
And we know there's huge excitement about moving to the cloud, but there are a lot of customers that are nervous or worried or not sure when is the right time.
Or just want to host themselves. And
they just want, just like you run SharePoint and Exchange yourself, you'll be able to essentially run the web apps. And
you have full control over it.
That's right. And mm-hmm. it comes with your Office license. So when we launch, about 500 million people will have access to the web applications on day one. And that's pretty amazing, and we're excited about that.
That's great. And so what kind of feedback have you had so far?
Boy, it's been great. You know, you always get lots of interesting feedback on how some of the features work and mm-hmm. what things we need to keep tweaking, and we expect that to continue through the tech preview. But PowerPoint seems to really be popping for people right away. Outlook seems to be popping in a big way. Features like this pretty innovative way we do conversation view is exciting for people.
I'm using that now.
That's good. We've done this cleanup feature where we'll basically compress your threads for you automatically. Which people, a lot of people are sort of like, oh, finally, I don't have to use a third-party product for that. But the killer one is this ignore feature, where you can basically get off of those threads that are just running out of control. And any future mail that comes in on that thread after you've hit ignore, Exchange knows to automatically
delete it. The thousand me toos to the joke that you didn't care about in the first email.
So everyone replying all, you literally hit ignore, and all the future reply alls go to the deleted mail folder automatically. So those are some of the ones that pop.
What are your personal favorite features?
Well, boy, ignore's nice. Yeah. You know, I totally appreciate the ignore features. SharePoint is really an exciting release too. And so for me, having the ribbon inside of the SharePoint UI to make it much easier to edit my blogs or work in my SharePoint sites, that's one that I personally have really enjoyed. Mm-hmm. In addition to the desktop apps, I think there's a lot to love in SharePoint 2010, and the ribbon is one example.
When are people going to be able to start using it?
Yes. So Monday, the tens of thousands of people will get the invite for Tech Preview. They'll just use the Microsoft Connect website to go download those bits. And then in later this calendar year, we'll go to a much, much more widespread beta, which will likely be millions of people being able to download the software and play with it before it's totally done.
So and then sometime next year?
Yeah, we've said next year is the sort of broad window we're giving ourselves to ship the product. But, we've had a pretty good track record of shipping within 36 months of the last release, plus or minus a few months. And so we've basically said beta is a really important milestone for us to hit this year, and then obviously we'll see.
That's great. And we've got a demo that we can look at today.
Yeah, Chris Bryant's going to come and show you some of the things. Hopefully I didn't steal too much of his thunder with my long list of cool things that I think people will love. But, you got to see it to really appreciate it.
Excellent. Well, thanks so much for coming by. And come by Channel 9 anytime.
Hey, it's my pleasure. Thank you.
And we're here with Chris Bryant. And you've been here before. We remember you.
Yes, I have, Larry. I've been here before.
And you're going to show us some of the cool new stuff that we can't wait to play with in Office 2010.
Yeah, today we're inviting tens of thousands of folks to come in and experience the technical preview of Office 2010. I'm going to give you a sneak peek of what some of the features that they'll be experiencing will be like.
Great.
Let's start with one of the main pillars of what we've invested in Office 2010, and that is really delivering that experience of productivity across PC, phone, and browser. I think we're doing it like no one else can. I'm going to show you a new feature of PowerPoint, and I'm going to show you how it works across the three screens that we know everyone's using today.
Okay.
This feature is called PowerPoint Slideshow Broadcast Slideshow. I choose the Broadcast Slideshow button. I got my choice of service. Mm-hmm. Business customers can run the broadcast service on top of SharePoint in their infrastructure if they want to control access to who is going to see the presentation. But Microsoft's also running a public service on the internet that will be available. We're not sure if it's going to be called PowerPoint Live. That's the name that's in the dialog box right now, tech preview time frame. We're still trying to figure that out.
Okay.
I'm going to create the broadcast. It's going to let me choose an email address or a set of email addresses to send it to you. I could send the link via IM. Think of this as just-in-time show and tell.
Yeah.
Sharing my presentation with a bunch of other people, talking to them all on the phone. All they need is a web browser. Sometimes in my little demo environment, this doesn't always work right. All they need is a web browser. They can even use web browser on mobile phones. Mm-hmm. I've got a Windows mobile device here, but I can do it on other platforms as well.
So it's platform agnostic. It's
going to be fine across browser agnostic. I'm just going to send the link here in email to a couple of people. I've got Holly logged into this machine over here.
Okay.
I'm going to get it through the email on Chris Cannon's phone right here. I start the slideshow up on my machine while I wait for the other people to join. So if I switch over to this laptop real fast, open up the email, click the link in the mail, this guy's going to fire up in the browser, and this just takes me a couple of seconds.
So we've got one person that's on, they've got the full client installed on this laptop. Another person could be on any machine, on a web browser.
Internet Explorer, Firefox, and Safari.
So what's the experience like on the phone? Is it something where you would just want to view a document, or would you actually do editing on the phone?
If you have a Windows mobile device and Office Mobile on the phone, you can actually do editing of the content on the phone. We've actually had Office Mobile for a while now, Office Mobile 6.0, 6.1. What we've done is actually brought high-fidelity viewing experience across platforms in this release. So this right here is the same slideshow that I was viewing before running on the phone. And actually, if I kind of cycle through my windows here, that's a view right there on the screen of what this looks like on the phone. You can also see it on the other machine rendering just in the browser. And as I advance my slideshow, delivering my presentation, you'll notice that the animations in the browser keep up, and then the slides advance in real time here on the phone.
Wow.
And so this is, again, that productivity experience delivered across the three devices, PC, phone, and browser.
Yeah.
PowerPoint broadcast, pretty amazing stuff.
Nice. So I can go into a meeting and drive it from this machine here.
That's right. Just-in-time show and tell. Call people up, say, hey, I want to show you something. They can be on the road, they can be remote, they can be in the same room with you using the projector. You can cover it all. And again, that's very little infrastructure. Not as powerful as, say, live meeting. I can't do the two-way conversation. Yeah. I can't do video inside here. I can't give remote desktop control over to someone else like I could do through live meeting. But this is really simple, really easy, really basic for a bunch of the common scenarios. This is the slideshow we were looking at. And what we've done inside PowerPoint, we've got a lot of customer feedback around the transition quality in PowerPoint. People want that, really. They've got amazing graphics hardware in these guys. They want that cinematic look and feel of the PowerPoint presentation. So here I am still walking through that slideshow, and I got a new gallery effect for transitions using that rich image processing capability. Here's another transition pulling images, flipping images. We've done some work inside PowerPoint to separate the foreground from the background so that you can get amazing effects of where the background stays like a static image and the foreground just peels right off. That's the effect of, you know, and when I go backward through these transitions, you can actually see they play in reverse, just like you would expect the transition. We also saw there an interesting animation. One of the things that we've done inside of PowerPoint is give you the ability to use a new tool called the Animation Painter, which copies animations, just like the Format Painter works, copies animations from one object to another, a couple of easy clicks. This is great for sharing presentations with other people. You get something. You're like, I want to know how I do that, but I don't know how to build all the steps by myself.
I want to copy that function, but I don't know how.
But
so,
I don't know how.
Yeah.
Use the Animation Painter, just a couple of easy clicks. Now video in PowerPoint. We've made video a first-class citizen inside of PowerPoint. There's tons of video out there on the internet today.
Yeah.
Actually, not that many people used video inside PowerPoint today, mostly because it's hard. There's a bunch of third-party add-ins you can go get to make doing video easier. But making it a first-class citizen inside PowerPoint gives you the ability to do amazing effects. So let me insert a video right in this slideshow. Go to my video library. Here's a commercial you might recognize.
Okay.
When I play it back, turn the sound on. When I play it back, of course, play it back right inside, I get the standard video controls. I can skip ahead.
Yeah, so you've got scrub,
forward, rewind. I can choose any frame inside the video as the poster frame just by clicking set poster frame.
Okay.
I can recolor the video, choose a bunch of different effects. You notice that we're pulling the current frame out of the video and using it as the live preview for all of those effects.
Nice.
So you can really see what it's going to look like.
Yeah.
I'm going to make Bill sepia-toned.
Okay.
I'm going to apply kind of a oval shape to the video here. I'm going to make it reflected here. And all of these effects I'm applying on top of the video, I'm not changing the underlying file.
Nice.
So I can come back later and recolor it again if it isn't quite the effect that I was interested in. Now as I play this back, it's all the effects applied. You can see the reflection.
It's masked out.
Masked
I love
out,
that.
Totally. The other thing people tell us they want to do with video once they get it in PowerPoint, this is a 30-second commercial. Maybe I just want 5 seconds of it. Right-click the video, choose trim. I get a preview UI that lets me, including seeing the audio graph, lets me pick just the right place in the video to trim it down. My personal favorite, really like the fish guy.
Yeah.
At the end. So poster frame stays the same.
Yeah.
Even though it's no longer in the section of video I'm keeping. And I press play. I just got the fish guy at the end.
That's great.
Now, I've got this video inside my presentation.
Yeah.
Got it looking just the way I want. Of course, that's a big video file, 13 and a half megs, give or take.
Yeah.
If I want to email this presentation to you, Larry, I would need to trim it down. I would need to compress it. I would need to apply a bunch of reduction tools to it to get it to fit inside of an email message.
Mm-hmm.
That gives me the opportunity to introduce you to the backstage view of Office. Inside PowerPoint here, first thing you'll notice about the backstage view, it's a full screen experience for really working with all that behind the scenes stuff that you do to your files as a whole. File properties, changing permissions, keeping track of versions, creating new ones, share, print, etc.
So there's a whole control panel for
that. Whole control panel. If you think of your content as your onstage area, then this is the backstage really helping you work with it behind the scenes.
Yeah.
First thing you notice in PowerPoint is the button at the top. Since I've got media files inserted, it's telling me they're taking up 14 megs. It's telling me that they're trimmed down. I can compress it on the fly right here inside PowerPoint. So I'm going to choose low quality just to give you an example of what the effect is like. In just a few seconds, PowerPoint will trim off the unused portions of the video at the beginning and the end, recompress the video down to low bandwidth quality, and you notice I save 13.3 megs of that 13.5 meg video file. Now it's 0.17. I can totally send it an email. It's going to be no problem.
Email it or post it.
Email it or post it. Great. I can undo it up until the point I save, so I can go preview it, see if I like the way it looks. Maybe it's too low quality, choose a different quality. And that's backstage view and image compression, video compression inside PowerPoint. Let's take a look at Word. It's the workhorse of the suite, really. We know that Word is on about 85% of desktops worldwide.
Mm-hmm.
It's the thing that everybody uses day in and day out, producing their quality documents.
Yeah.
We've done a bunch of image editing tools inside Office. Again, more of that bringing your ideas to life, bringing you the modern visuals, video, and images that people expect to work with.
Yeah.
I'm going to insert an image here in this document, take a picture from my hard drive. I'll pick a picture of this lovely woman right here, drop it in. The first thing that I'll show you is actually a new tool done in conjunction with Microsoft Research, some great research that the MSR team has done for background removal. So I've got my image selected. Choose the background removal tool up here. You'll notice that it highlights in purple all the elements of the image it thinks are the background. And as I adjust the box and include more of the foreground elements I want, it'll sort of recolor on the fly. When I close the tool, I've popped her right off the background.
That is pretty amazing.
And then the foreground of the image is the new image data, even though it's drawing a rect around the whole thing. When I apply effects like shadow, I just get the shadow effect on the foreground, not on the whole image.
Yeah.
So now I've really popped that thing out.
That's awesome.
Some other artistic effects you can apply to images. Again, I get the image as a live preview here in the gallery.
Mm-hmm.
This is stuff I would have to go to a third-party tool to do. Now I can do it right in line inside my document. I can really see how it's going to look before before I save it. I kind of like the black and white pencil effect. I apply that just by hovering, clicking. Now I've got this image that totally pops right off.
That's great.
Right
you can just change it to another one. Looks
change it to another
very
one.
Easy.
Super easy. Pick the gallery as I hover over these. It changes in real time. I can see what it's going to look like. The watercolor effect is kind of interesting as well. That's artistic effects. Let me actually show you another cool tool for images inside of Word. I'll jump up here to the insert tool and show you how easy it is to insert a screenshot.
Okay.
Right inside of Word. This is actually something that people tell us they want to do a lot.
I do that a lot, yeah.
Blog postings, you're doing reviews of software, what have you. You want to take a screenshot. I grab the screenshot tool, and what I get is actually a live preview of the windows that are open on my desktop.
So it's kind of like an alt tab.
It's like an alt tab. It's a screenshotting tool. These are not static files.
Mm-hmm.
This is the presentation we were working on just a few seconds ago at the place we were working on it.
Yeah.
It's a live preview of that window. I can click on it, and boom, I throw the image right inside my Word
document. That's incredible.
Super easy. Last thing I want to show you in Word, just because I know that this is something that people do time and time again, copy-paste.
Yeah.
How much do you do copy-paste?
All day.
All day.
Yeah.
Every day. That's what everybody tells us. In fact, copy and paste is some of the most common commands that people use inside of Office. Nearly 20% of the things that people do are all around copy-paste.
Yeah.
Time and time again, 300 times a month, more or less, depending on who you are. A lot of times you go to interesting websites that might look like this.
Mm-hmm.
I've chosen a particularly fabulous one. You copy some text out of it. You go to Word and you paste it in, and you get something that looks like that.
Yeah, doesn't quite look like what we were looking at.
Exactly. Doesn't quite look like what we were looking at.
But it's accurate. I mean, those were the colors.
That's what I got from the website, exactly. It's no surprise, however, that the most frequently used command right after paste is undo.
Yeah.
Because you paste that in, you're like, that's not what I wanted.
Yeah.
Got a new feature across Office called Paste Preview. You can see the on-object UI hovering down over there. When I click on the button, I actually get a few different options for how to paste. And as I hover over them, I get a live preview of what it'll look like.
That is great.
So when I get the effect that I want, I got all the text, the color's been merged into the document, I still keep the hyperlinks.
You've got the links.
Got the links.
That is awesome.
That's super easy. And that'll save those undo steps as you're grabbing text from other places.
Yeah.
Works across a suite. Great choices for Excel, like copy and pasting tables and charts. As you move them across, you get all the options right
there. Nice.
So that's a little bit about Word. Let's move on and take a look at Excel. Sparklines are essentially little charts that fit inside a cell, and they behave like a cell.
Wow, that's really cool.
Great for visualizing trend data over time.
Yeah, or just, you know, visually seeing which ones are the bigger numbers.
Exactly.
Yeah, I love that.
So I've got an Excel workbook here. It's got a bunch of data. It's got these data bars. If I wanted to see the trend data for those prices over time, I might create a graph that looks something like that.
Yeah.
You've probably created stuff like that.
Sure.
I certainly have. It's easy to see the trend data for the lines at the top because they're way out of the scale, and I can look at them at a glance, and I can say, but those at the bottom are just too messed up.
Stack tight.
Sparklines help me do this. I insert a sparkline. I select the data range that I want, say go, and boom, I get an insert, a little mini chart, fits right inside the cell, shows me the trend of the price data over time.
Great.
I can use all the common cell operations like fill down. So fill down, something every Excel user does all the time. Drag the handle down, fill down, I got all the sparklines filled in just like that.
That is great.
Few options, I can recolor, I can choose different color types, I can choose different marker color types, change the high points to say green. And now at a glance, I can kind of see this trend data over time. And actually, you might see that there's this sort of really high density of data points here in the second column. Mm-hmm. That's a conclusion I would not have gotten from looking at the data bars, the price graphs.
That's incredible.
Second thing to show you inside of Excel is something called slicers. Slicers are visual filtering tools, help you look at data, slice and dice it in different ways. I've got a pivot table here. And
I love a pivot table.
Everybody loves pivot tables, but that chart is really complicated.
Yeah.
And if I was going to filter this down, I might use the UI like this and check and uncheck these boxes. But if I came back later, I wouldn't really remember what I had filtered on.
Yeah.
Looking at the data, don't really know. Super easy to solve that. I insert a slicer. I'm going to pick a couple of fields from my pivot table to insert. Say OK. Drag these around, actually, so make some space and you can see the data in real time. What you'll notice here is the slicers are showing me the data inside the fields for country and province, and the things that I've selected are highlighted in blue. I can use this UI to click around, select a city or state or country, and as I select in the slicers, the data filters down.
It's like
the
dynamic visualization for a pivot table.
Totally.
That is awesome. Yeah, I love that.
I can multi-select in here. I can pick a few different things. So that's a little bit of Word, Excel, PowerPoint. Last thing I want to show you is Outlook and the amazing ways that Outlook helps you work together, work with other people.
This is where I spend most of my day.
This is where everybody starts their day, ends their day, runs throughout the entire day.
Yeah.
Average session length in Outlook is about 750 minutes from startup to shutdown. So that's what we see customers doing all day long. I'm sure you get more and more email all the time.
Yes.
Right? Tons of email coming in. Email boxes are growing. People are getting, on average, we see Outlook customers read about 1,800 mail messages every month. And they delete about 1,500
They must
of those
not
messages.
Work at Microsoft.
No, they must not work.
Because you'll get that in an afternoon.
Yes.
Okay.
Yes. But that's the average. As email boxes grow, one of the amazing things that we want to do is give people a real conversation view.
Yeah.
And so I can take a mailbox that you see at the bottom, it has 118 messages in it, but it actually fits in just a little over a screen because I've compressed it down to just the set of threads, just a set of unique conversations. I have a conversation like this one, and what conversation view does is give me a view of the mail messages that not only are in this folder, but actually span all my folders.
Yeah.
And it shows me how they're connected to each other. So this message is a thread that actually forks as a response in the earlier
part. So even though you've deleted some mail or you've moved it to other folders, you can click on that one message and see the entire thread
throughout
all folders.
Yep. Works across send items here. You can see it will work across PSTs or across different folders in my mailbox. Now, once I've got these conversations, actually most of the content in that mail is redundant.
Yeah.
I'm sure this happens to you. People reply and they copy the whole body of the mail message as a default, and you get all this content that's just repeated over and over and over again. With one click, I can clean up the whole thread and reduce that dozen or so messages down to just 5.
Nice.
That just shows me all the unique parts, and because everything that came before Nina's mail here is actually inside her mail.
Yeah.
I don't need all those copies of all the same stuff. Ever get on a thread that you wish would just die?
Gee, do I? Yeah, a couple times.
So here's one that everybody wants to get off, and of course, when they want to stop getting the mail, their first response is to reply and add more mail. Now you can take control. Pick the ignore thread button. With one click, the conversation that's there and all future messages straight to your deleted items folder. So you'll never be bothered by it again. And then some of those really common things that people do are embodied in quick steps up in the ribbon. Mm-hmm. You notice that the Outlook now has the ribbon. Here I have the Quick Steps Gallery, which is a totally customizable set of things that you can make really efficient for processing mail inside of Outlook.
Yeah.
So if you often move things to a folder, maybe you forward things to your manager a lot, I can create Quick Steps that do those in one click. Then I just go up to the ribbon and click on them. I'll show you one of the really common ones people do. Take a mail thread on a topic and turn it into a meeting.
Yeah.
And so with one click, I can respond to that mail with a meeting. And now you're actually seeing a couple of the new meeting features inside of Outlook 2010. Mm-hmm. With Exchange support on the back end, I actually get something called mail tips, which tell me before I send the message, this person is out of the office, saving me that bounce back.
Yeah, yeah.
Send you mail, you're out of the office, you tell me to contact somebody else instead. I can get that all in a mail tip. Mm-hmm. If I send mail to somebody outside the company, it can warn me. Hey, you're about to share company secrets with an external recipient.
Nice.
I send mail to a large distribution list, a couple hundred people are going to get this mail. Are you sure you want to send that mail to a DL that's 250
people? Nice. That would come in handy.
Yeah, totally.
A couple times.
Save some of those embarrassing things. And then on the right-hand side of this meeting is actually the new meeting suggestions pane. It tells me, looks at all the people on the mail, tells me all the new booking times. We have the scheduling assistant still.
Yeah.
But this is a super easy way to see at a glance all the different choices of times, days and times when I can book meetings with the people on this thread.
So this looks great, Chris. How are we going to get our hands on this? Where should people go for more information?
You should go to www.microsoft.com/office2010. All the new information will be posted today, and you can have a look. There's a bunch of links. Videos are out there. Demonstrations of the product. You can follow the links to sign up for the technical preview if you haven't already. And we're inviting people in waves. So
great.
Come sign up and check it out.
Thanks so much for showing this to us.
Thank you, Larry.